Good morning. Ever feel like you have too many problems and you're just a little bit overwhelmed? I saw this on a pastor's business card. It says, "Good morning. This is God. I will be handling all of your problems today, and I will not need your help. So have a good day." Some of you may have seen this one. Yep. Is it really that simple? I think God expects us to use the gifts that He's given us to help get our work, His work, done. But we need to remember that no matter what, at the end of the day, God is still in control of everything. Now, I have three words for you to remember this morning. Can you do that if I give them to you? Yeah? Walk with one. Walk with one. Let's say them together. Walk with one. Okay, remember these because you'll need to use them later. Does anyone know what was the big news for American Catholics this week? I know you do. Yeah. Okay, if you're thinking or you said the first National Eucharistic Congress in 83 years was in Indianapolis, you'd be correct. Many folks I know have been following this closely, and we had about 25 parishioners from St. Joe and St. Vincent attend. Truly, it was by far the largest gathering of Catholics from across the country and even beyond that I'd ever been a part of. According to WTHR.com, there were over 55,000 people who attended this historically significant set of events that started this past Wednesday and it ends today at noon. Attendees included a papal delegation, over 100 bishops, literally thousands of clergy, religious brothers and sisters from so many different orders, I couldn't count them all. And of course, tens of thousands of lay people were there. Wow. So, and if you haven't already wondered, you might ask yourself, why? Why are U.S. Catholic bishops chose now as this moment in history to convene the first National Congress since the early 1940s? Attending one of the small group sessions, I learned that one of the biggest reasons was that over the past several years, when Catholics have been surveyed by the Pew Research Center, which is a major research place, a high percentage of those Catholics said they did not believe in the true presence of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. This is a major problem for our faith. You also get some reasoning behind holding the conference by how it was named. It was called the National Eucharistic Revival. And I don't know about you, but when I hear that word revival, I still have an image, which I think comes from a really old movie. It was old when I saw it when I was a kid, that has a black-suited pastor. I'll get this right. He's standing on a small stage in the middle of a large tent assembly where he's yelling at the top of his lungs to his congregation that Jesus is coming, and he slams his Bible from one hand to another as he says, "Repent, repent, repent." Thinking about our Eucharistic revival this week and what I experienced, I found that old image of a revival still pretty accurate. We talked about Jesus is here. He's not only coming, He's here. And we need to repent. But there was one major, major difference in this revival. This revival had a very intentional and sharp focus on the true presence of Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity, being truly present in the Eucharistic sacrament. And this fits with what the revival's website says. If you go to the website, it says, the primary purpose of this gathering is to worship Jesus in the Eucharist as one church. One church. If you haven't already taken a moment to Google or whatever search engine you use, the U.S. National Eucharistic Congress, take time to do this. There is so much great information about the revival, our Catholic faith. If you take that information to heart, I can guarantee you that you and your family will benefit from it and will help you get to the goal, which is to get to heaven. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Our first reading, our responsorial psalm, number 23, and our gospel, they all talk about the action of shepherding. In the first reading, Jeremiah boldly testifies for God that if you are a shepherd of people and you're misleading or scattering God's people, from a spiritual perspective that is, you better look out. In other words, if you teach others to disobey the law of Moses, the Mosaic law, not follow the commandments, you are a bad shepherd, and God will punish you. Be sure of that. In Psalm 23, from our responsorial, Jesus is now the good shepherd. And the words describing the shepherd are those other words around that passage. They're comforting to readers. Verdant pastures, restful waters. Goodness and kindness will follow me. And so on and so on. Often used at funerals, this reading paints an image of what a good shepherd looks like. I love this passage, and I've used it many times over the years to help calm me down when I had a lot of fears. Today's gospel also leads us to think about Jesus as the good shepherd. It starts by telling us how the apostles had returned to Jesus after he had sent them out on mission, which was our gospel last week. Recall that Jesus had sent them out two by two and gave them authority over unclean spirits. And they were instructed to take no food, no sack, no money. Now the apostles are back. And after Jesus listens to them, tell him all they'd done, Jesus says to them, come away and rest a while. Jesus must have been pleased with the missionary work they had done. Likely he was thinking, you guys deserve a rest. However, we find out there were just too many people following Jesus at this point in his ministry. Many were watching his every move and then relaying his location to others who also wanted to follow him. Jesus and his apostles were not able to go off and get the rest they wanted. But rather than getting upset about this, Jesus has compassion on those wanting to follow him because he says they are like sheep without a shepherd. And so what does Jesus do? He begins to teach them many things. And I'm sure you and I can both imagine what some of those many things are. As Jesus' arms and legs on earth today, do we act as good examples of shepherds taking care of others as Jesus shows us on how to do this in the gospel today? Do we do our best to shepherd others even when we're tired and want to rest or just be alone? At the National Eucharistic Congress, there were many speakers who had various themes to many different talks. And I've been thinking, about one theme in particular, which points to something that I think each one of us can do. It connects with our readings about what makes for a good shepherd. And the theme is, remember those three words? Walk with one. When you walk with one particular person that you know could benefit, and you may think you could do more than one, and if you can, great. But when you walk with one person, you connect with them in a way that supports a healthy relationship between you and them. And together, the resulting relationship makes each of you a better Christian. Your walking with one helps them in many ways. It helps them if they're worried, if they need consolation. You may want to go out to lunch with them or literally take a walk. You may want to act as a mentor to the problems they have, doing whatever it takes to be Jesus to them. Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Doing this, walking with one, you will be extending the hands and feet of Jesus, who is that Good Shepherd to us all. I'd ask you, try it. Walk with one.